Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
All right, it's time for a quick check-in with the business world, which is what you guys come to the Daily Zeitgeist for.
I know my stocks are fucking rumpin' and a-tumpin'.
Rumpin' and tumpin'. So Tesla, the company Tesla, Elon Musk has been forced to step down as chairman of the board. So I thought they were saying he just had to, like, vamoose from the whole, like, company. Like, right. He was out. When I first saw the headline, but apparently it's just that he was both chairman of the board and CEO, which is if you founded a company and are insanely powerful at that company, you can be both of those things. So you're basically indestructible.
You're Godhead.
Yeah, because you're both the head of the company and the person who fires the head of the company.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm probably not going to fire myself on this one, guys. Later. But he is no longer chairman of the board, so that opens him up to being accountable.
Yeah.
Which seems like it should always be the way companies operate, but because he founded shit and because our country is a corporatocracy, he was allowed to operate with complete impunity and, you know, make 420 jokes with people's livelihoods, for a laugh. Also, GE fired their CEO and their stock. The articles are saying their stock is soaring, but it's actually just back to where it was a week ago. And that in total is down since its peak in the year 2000, the equivalent of an entire Facebook. Like Facebook is currently valued at $473 billion.
Uh-huh.
They've lost $485 billion since 2000 GE.
Oh, man.
And see, it's just crazy.
Not enough war. Not enough war for them to make money on.
Yeah, I think that doesn't help.
Hey, there might be one coming up. So,
hey.
Shout out to GE.
Hang in there, GE.
Your jets will be needed.
And then Miles, you were saying that Papa John's.
Oh man, you know how I got my eye on Papa John's. Oh, maybe this is, and this might be something.
He's from Louisville.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. They have not gotten the news yet.
They love it.
They don't know what's happened, but oh my God, someone needs to tell them.
Let them know this is not a thing. Yeah, apparently right now the ownership, the present ownership, they're just begging prospective buyers for like proposals to buy this thing. They're like, hey, y'all want to buy Papa John's?
Distressed asset.
And yeah, and then there's even like a thing about how they were talking about rebranding, but the only rebrand was to take the apostrophe out.
Uh-huh. So John's. So it's a
like plural.
Multiple Papa John's.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, exactly.
Like we're all Papa John's.
Right. Like, no, I'm not. I don't sweat that much.
We are all Papa John.
Really? Like, let's take a look at ourselves, man.
Right.
We are all
that
Papa's
rules
John.
So hard, dude.
I am Papa John.
Yeah.
I am Papa John. There'd be like the ad with the
like
kids.
Like the I
standing
am Tiger Woods
class.
Fucking commercial. I am Papa John. And it would be all people of color too. Just to fucking woke watch the company. They're like, I am Papa John.
They would just make the N-word Papa John at that point. Yeah. They'd be like,
the like ultimate you, betrayal is calling Kaepernick it? At the end. He's like, I am Papa John.
You're like, what? No!
they're what just they trying to. It's like a commercial Kaepernick? Campaign just trying a targeted hit to try and like kill him with a heart attack.
That would be the. Oh my God. That would be so funny.
All the news I hear coming out of there, like the fact that they wanted to remove the apostrophe, and like the other big thing that they were considering was like changing the red and green on their label.
Right.
Like, it's just such like a perfect fucking satire.
Honestly,
of everything you hear about corporate America.
Right,
just
and
people
blue.
Being like, yo, so
compare
you gotta,
these. Compare these.
Right. Look at this red and blue. So we're going with a more millennial green. And sorry, I was saying red and blue. It's red and green.
Yeah, well, honestly, and I think we've said this every time, if they want to fucking help themselves, change the fucking recipe of your pizzas.
That's got to be my favorite part of this entire, like, news cycle for the past 2 years for them, is that, like, Papa John's has slowly lost, like, power as the party pizza. Like,
right.
You go to a party, like a birthday party or, like, a kids, whatever you're, like, hanging out with people, the default pizza is, like, Papa John's because I think it's, like, the cheapest or best deals for multiple people. Now it's more Domino's, Pizza Hut, local places, and I'm like kind of happy about that.
Yeah.
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 Well, again, the only thing I like is that garlic sauce because it helps me finish their shitty crust.
Here's the thing. Other places have better garlic sauce. I thought that was a Papa John's like patent or something.
Who else has garlic sauce?
Literally every pizza place. You could just get it anywhere. I didn't know it was a thing. Yeah.
Oh, they put it in
Pizza Hut has it, Domino's. I'm not like a commercial. I don't work for those.
Wait,
people.
Domino's has it?
Yeah, you'll never guess this. Two mediums, $10.99. Garlic sauce.
Yo, Domino's.
I don't know. I don't work for Domino's.
I want to eventually.
They also have ranch dressing that you can get for like 50 cents extra. That's real good with the crust.
I don't do that.
What's the matter, man? You don't like ranch?
I love ranch.
I like ranch on pizza. I did. Yeah.
Yeah, no, not on pizza, but you know, I like the garlic sauce. But
right.
We get by however we have to. Just like MoviePass is trying to get by. However the fuck they have to.
Touché.
And they are underhanded as fuck. Because we've already talked about how they've completely self-owned with their terrible business model. And then, you know, they literally ran out of money and had to get emergency funding and things like that. So naturally, a lot of people are like, yo, this is not worth the money, and have left. Their new fucking tactic to try and counteract their like dwindling subscriber base is to automatically enroll lapsed members into their new like unlimited plan.
Mm.
And then they have to opt out to avoid being charged. So I don't even know who, like, this is really, they're in their death throes when they're like, you know what? People who used to fucking subscribe, just sign them back up. And, you know, tell them if they don't want to pay, then they're going to have to opt out.
Dude, MoviePass is like a case study and like read the fine print. Because I feel like all of this is in the like thing you like click the terms and conditions, but we don't read it. So like, I bet legally they're all like, yeah, no, you said we could come and beat your wife. I don't know. Hey,
right.
Yes. You signed it away. And it's like, I'm sure they can.
Well, they're framing this as they're like, almost like the email that goes out to those people is like, you're part of a select test group to try our new unlimited plan. And you're like, yo,
but it's
I never
an email
asked for this.
That you don't have to click on in order to be enrolled.
No, you're enrolled.
You
in
are
that
in.
Shit. But you know, that's what happens with these businesses and these fantasy businesses. And that's why, again, I think these like AMCs, that shit looks like a better deal.
Right.
It's backed by a brand.
AMC, come give me this money.
I know. We're so anti-corporatocracy, but we're always like, Domino's, AMC, it's fucking best,
because
man.
We still live in this place, and like, I don't have money. I don't have like real money to avoid big companies. I'm like,
just go to
artisanal
pizza
places.
I can't go to, I can't eat at, if I could eat at Pizzana every day, I would. You know, shout out to James. But I can't. I don't have Pizzana money. I have Domino's money. I have Taco Bell money. Right. Okay.
Look, Nike makes the best joggers. I can't hate. Yeah. You know.
What are you gonna do?
I feel bad. I feel terrible. But whatever.
Hey, well, you know. At least you're not. At least you're not wearing any Yeezy nonsense.
Did you guys see that Facebook announced, in addition to like giving up 50 million people's confidential information, that when they were doing two-factor authentication, like basically, you know, we'll send you a text message every time you log in. Even if you didn't have your mobile number attached to like anything in your Facebook account except for the two-factor authentication, they were selling your mobile number to companies so that they could like spam you.
Dude, I always wonder how the fuck I get so many motherfucking scam likelies calling me up all the time and numbers I don't know. Mm. And so many numbers that like mimic the first six digits of your phone number. So it'll be like your area code and then the first three and you're like, oh, this kind of looks like my number. And you call and you're like, hello, do you need to restructure your home debt? And you're like, no, what the fuck is this?
Every day I get like two.
Yeah.
I got to get a burner. Ridiculous. I got to get a burner to avoid fucking spam calls.
Just double your spam calls.
Yeah. There's just this whole shadow economy of companies that their whole model is just to like fucking spam call people.
Yeah,
I think I read somewhere that the number of spam phone calls is about to equal or surpass the number of actual phone calls.
Oh, that like the amount of phone mobile, like connections that are made?
Phone connections.
I mean, I'm not joking. I have like, I'm sure people hear my phone go off sometimes in the recording. Those are always scam calls.
Are they really?
Yeah, every fucking time.
I always thought
time.
You were like making moves, man.
Nah, man. I only move weight from my palm pilot.
It is good to like act cool. Like, oh no, I got a lot of business going on.
Yeah.
I got to like, restructure my
It's my agent.
Load.
Hold on, I'm so sorry. Yeah, what's up?
Talked to my wife 3 hours ago, 2 hours ago, got a spam call. Then 1 hour ago, got a spam call. So That's how my day's going so far.
I've had three of all scam calls today except for one from the homegirl Brittany.
Right.
But yeah, everything else, Avalon, West Carrollton, Ohio, Agora Hills.
But it's confusing because I feel like I have to listen to like the first four or five words of each call because now Amazon called me about like my actual business with them like 2 days ago. And I was like, well, okay, now hold the fuck on. And it was like legit Amazon.
Yeah.
So I was like... And they use robots too.
Right.
So I
hello.
Gotta, like, yeah.
You're like,
hello.
Oh, fuck.
Yusuf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yusuf Roach. I'm like, yo, you can't even. What the fuck?
Roach. meanwhile, The Daily, the New York Times podcast that's like a worse version of this show, interviewed two journalists from The New York Times who are on the Brett's Drunken Escapades beat. One of them is like digging around in amongst his high school friends and the other is digging around amongst his college friends. And everything they've uncovered has suggested that all accusations are real and trustworthy. And they were saying that people, and this is something I always assumed, but I hadn't actually heard anybody say it, but that classmates have pride, even if they're Democrats, even no matter what their politics are, they have pride in the fact that, oh, well, this guy I went to school with is a Supreme Court nominee. That's like a cool thing to say. And I'm sure like the Chris Dudleys of the world are like, hey, it's not bad to have like somebody who's on the Supreme Court in case I get into a knife fight at a bar or whatever. But
you're Alex Trebek.
Yeah. But so they were basically saying that no, people didn't want to go on the record and contradict Kavanaugh until the Fox News interview and his testimony, at which point people started coming out and being like, yo, this guy, like, you can't just lie that hard. And so they were saying that they have a lot of people who either on the record or anonymously are painting a picture of him as like such a fuck up that everyone was shocked at graduation from college when he won like all these honors because he was the guy at the keg who was always trying and failing to like get girls and he wanted to be a ladies' man, but instead he was always holding up the wall, which they meant leaning against the wall because he would fall over if he stepped away from it. So he was just like constantly way entirely too drunk and, you know, pestering women. He's a sex pest.
I mean, all the lies. There's so many. Now, like, there are so many lies or so many conflicting reports about this person. It's hard to even keep track of because, like, every single thing he said, there's always been something to be like, wait, he said he found out about the Ramirez accusation when the New Yorker piece came out. But then there are people saying that he was texting people before the release of that article being like, hey, if this comes out, you got to back me up. And like and acting like he told Orrin Hatch, oh, I found out when the New Yorker piece. Although, I mean, you may argue that he meant that when he was contacted maybe by the New Yorker, that's when he found out. But there's so many other things that like are so that are already disqualifying that it's just mind boggling that we're still kind of like, oh, okay, well, let's just hold our nose and see what happens.
Yeah, man, he's lied to Congress. You know, that should get him yanked out of contention, should get him yanked off of his D.C. circuit position, and he should go to jail, you know, and at least for like a couple of weeks, you know, so that he can see what it's like to be on the receiving end of what he does.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think he's even probably seen a prison. He's like, oh, they freak me out.
Right.
Yeah.
He was like, ooh, they're gross. They're gross.
I mean, that facial twitch doesn't come from nowhere. There's a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So meanwhile, on the right, the story that is gaining traction is that this is now out of control. It is a scary time for young white men in America. And this is according to the Trumps. Donald Trump Jr. Said he's worried for his sons. I think we have audio of that. And your boy Jeffrey Toobin, who is the New Yorker writer, who is also CNN's like legal expert, commented on that in a way that I found wildly appropriate.
Who are you scared most for, your sons or your daughter?
I mean, right now, I'd say my sons. But when the other side weaponizes it against men and says, you know, 40 years later, we can bring it up, and you did something in high school that no one remembers, but it should disqualify you from ever doing anything again, it really diminishes the real claims.
That's text and subtext right there.
You know
subtext
what? Text. Every night, I cry myself to sleep over the fate of white men in America. White men have no power. White men, I mean, it's such garbage.
Then
I mean,
you're
so
not
ridiculous.
Listening to right-wing media where well, this is a talking point that has caught on like wildfire.
I understand that. And you know what? If you sexually assault someone in high school, your life should be ruined. Your life should be pursued. I mean, the idea that this is somehow unjust. Remember, this all started with accusations of sexual assault. How about the lives of the women who were sexually assaulted in high school? How about the 15-year-old Ms. Blasey, she wasn't Ms. Blasey Ford in those days. How about her life? All this whining about the poor plight of white men is ridiculous.
Can I don't know where he gets off.
I don't know. I mean, well, when you hear these male politicians say it, to me, it feels so clearly that these people refuse to have a reckoning with their own past behavior that it's just easier to just look at this and say, this is such bullshit,
right,
rather than like, yeah, fuck. I fucked up. I grew up in a time where we didn't, like, no one told me shit. I operated under this fucked up misogynistic culture. There's something needs to change rather than be like, oh my God, like, this is getting out of control. Like, cause I'm refusing to do the, be introspective and look at my own self.
Right.
I'd rather just be like, well, see, this is all bullshit.
Right.
It's very transparent. Like, when you hear people start using this defense, like, I wonder what is in your past.
Right.
Because it seems like to begin to agree that, oh, yeah, this is something we have to deal with would force them to confront some of their own behavior and then put that through the context of what's going on and be like, yeah, I may have been a shitty guy or maybe I still am.
Yeah.
But
and the just sheer indignation from white men on behalf of other white men, like Trump, the president himself, he doesn't give a shit about his sons with good reason, as we recently heard. But he was just saying, broadly, it's a scary time for men in America, obviously, the implication being only white men, when you can be perfect and one accusation can ruin your life. And yeah, even though he himself admitted that Dr. Ford seemed completely credible, it's just like their brain just goes from A to C. It skips the middle step where a you know, sexual assault occurred. And it's just like, yeah, but think about it from his perspective. It's got to suck.
Because I get that perspective because I'm a guy who did fucked up shit. And if that happened to me, that would be terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to remember that Ivana Trump told the police that Donnie raped her. And then Donnie Jr. was like, you know, I think I'm going to go work for my dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like Republicans will always be like, you know, or people who are talking to Republicans in order to make them have like even pretend to care about women. They're like, oh, imagine if this happened to your daughter or your mother or your mom. Like it did happen to their mom and they don't give a fuck.
That's a good point.
I mean, I think just to make sure to keep his father in this pristine image of a guy who really doesn't care about him. But yeah, I mean, it's so funny too, because you know, the solution for this problem is very simple. If you're a parent, is just teach your sons that raping people is bad, that consent is something that they need to learn about, that they have to respect someone's agency, not violate them. Pretty simple. Because it's like, well, I'm going to start teaching my kid you can't do this shit. Like, that's the subtext of that, too, where it's like, oh, my God, I fear for my kids because I'm not telling him about this stuff. I'm just being like, yo, this is all good. This is how you...
Boys will be boys. Yeah, right? Am I right, guys?
And it's like, yo, just do the work of a fucking parent and raise a child to know like what the rules are to this game we're trying to play called life.
Baby Ripley is 2 years old and 3 months.
Oh, this makes so much sense because you were talking about aliens.
Yeah, named her after the first female action star.
That's fucking awesome.
Thank you. She's awesome.
Hey, I believe it. Believe it or not.
Ripley's a different Ripley, though.
But she's going to hear that a lot. So.
From very funny people.
Really lame people. Old dudes. Hey, believe
I
it or not, you're Ripley.
I love Jack Palance. Believe it or not. But yeah, I'll be like, hey, Rip, can I get a kiss? And she'll go, no. And I go, that's okay. You know, you do not have to give me a kiss because you're adorable and I want a kiss doesn't mean I get one, even if I'm your mommy.
And you know? I'm taking your food away from you.
Because clearly you don't love me.
Oh, then I guess you don't need my food either.
White men are in the 60s versus 30s when it comes to whether to approve Kavanaugh.
What do you mean? In polling? The 1960s?
Like in 60-something percent versus 30-something percent, they think he should be approved versus people who think he shouldn't be. Everyone else is like the opposite, essentially.
Well, if Kavanaugh gets on the court, everybody gets issued a woman. So that's good.
Right.
She's historically unpopular. However, and this blew my mind, most Republicans, so 54% of Republicans said that they would support confirming Kavanaugh even if it turned out that the sexual assault accusations against him are true. They're just like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Well, that's a bonus for a lot of those guys.
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think, again, because these are men who are unwilling to they don't want to do the work of looking at their own behavior. Exactly. So it's easier to just be like, no, this guy's chill.
Right.
Because I don't want to live in a world where this is bad and now I'm going to have to confront my own shit. It's just such they haven't had a reckoning with their own behavior. A lot of people.
It's like a lot of them are like Bible thumpers who use the Bible to reinforce their toxic masculinity.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, instead of us, I believe that we are stewards of the earth and we are to protect it and protect the animals on it and take good care of it so that whoever comes behind us, you know, we left it better than we found it. You know, just like if you let me stay at your house, I'm going to probably leave that room better than I found it, you know? Mm. Whereas these guys are like, we are to have dominion and women are to obey. And we have to, if we can't kill it, we fuck it. And if we can't fuck it, we kill it. But sometimes we fuck it, then we kill it. And sometimes we kill it, then we fuck it.
Right.
You know? And like that, because that's what men do.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? And that's not what real men do.
I know two speeds, fuck or kill.
Which one are you going to be on today?
Because it ain't cuck or cry. On the left, man.
Yeah.
It's fuck or kill over here, my man.
Oh, man. This is very upsetting, that character.
What? two speeds, fuck or kill?
Fuck or kill.
I mean, it's true. The subtext of a lot of things we're seeing, it's like you say. It's when you have people who are so unwilling to just look at this in a way that is free from politics or maybe just their own personal history, you just say it is a bad thing for someone to do this to someone else.
Yeah, and if you rape someone, even if you were bad at raping and you didn't get all the way,
right?
You know, you made an attempt at raping right. someone. That's a disqualifier.
Oh,
for, like,
yes,
forever.
Yeah,
forever. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. What one thing? Just while we're on the subject of him being too drunk to sexually complete his attempt at sexual assault. So the actual definition of Devil's Triangle, like, people have just been pointing to that as an example of him lying because he said it was a drinking game.
Right.
But the actual definition of Devil's Triangle is a threesome with two men and a woman, which is what he was attempting to have happen if you believe Dr. Ford's account of the events. He
two
was,
men in a
yeah,
room.
Two men in a room alone right. with a woman. And, like, he just didn't, you know, whether she was into it was not, like, didn't appear to cross his mind. And, like, but people are just like, see, he lied about that and it's not actually a drinking game. And it's like, no, it's actually the thing that he was attempting to mm-hmm. do. Like, why aren't we talking more about that?
Because I think in the way that the logic is operating in the Senate, the only way they can get the GOP to concede that anything bad happened is for this investigation to come back and say that in fact happened. They're not interested in the fact that he's lied about his drinking history or all these other things. That's why the scope of the investigation is so narrow, too. It's just limited to these allegations of sexual assault. It's not about whether or not he lied about his drinking or many of these other things that should be relevant, because they would probably show that he did lie to the Senate.
Yeah. No, it's very clear he lied about his drinking and he lied about the definition of that. I'm just saying, like, it seems like the media at the very least should be pointing out, like, he was bragging that him and his homies, like, had right. threesomes with girls. Like, that's...
Who are not into it. No woman wants that from right. Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. Yeah.
Right.
Have you seen these guys? Jesus Christ. And you have to have a discussion about that. You know, I would think, you know, if I were to be with two guys, I'd be like, all right, now here's diagrams of what's allowed and what's not
right,
allowed.
Right.
It's a very thorough vetting process.
Here's the diagram. The two of you fuck off out of here. See ya. There we go.
They need to get hooked up to a polygraph. She passed a poly. This isn't a criminal prosecution.
Right.
That's inadmissible in court, but this is a job interview. Hook those two up to a polygraph and see what happens, man.
Right. And it's so funny, too, because even in the Senate hearings, you're like, well, we use it to hire people in the intelligence community. And mm-hmm. like we employed in all these other ways. But again, I'm sure, yeah, there's no way he could, because I don't think it would in any way show him to be honest about
it. Yeah,
anything.
It would just like, it would just start smoking.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it just melts the second he puts it on.
On The Daily, one of the reporters was saying that the people who drank with him are like, yeah, he probably believes it when he denies that this happened because he doesn't remember it. But he was, like, blacked out all the time. Like, he was just constantly
right.
blacked out. So, like, yeah, it's easy for him to deny it, and maybe he would pass a polygraph, but he was blacked out all the time. Like, we all knew those kids in college and high school who were just always completely blacked out, and, you know, some of us may have been those kids.
And there's no shame in that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, like, you know.
And then
like,
you make, you kind of get real with yourself and acknowledge that you know, that you don't just like drinking beers or like beers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love beer. I love beers. I'll continue to drink beers.
He's the worst commercial for beer ever.
I know. We were saying that whole day was like, great for Coke and probably the worst thing that's ever happened to Anheuser-Busch, right? Like, ever, because you associate beer with this fucking just douchey monster.
Do you think he has, like, a Michelob tattoo somewhere?
On his lower back?
I feel
right.
like he has to have a tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, some shitty tattoo.
That he doesn't remember getting.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back, and there is a 300,000-word New York Times article today about the Trump Organization's like financial history, basically how Donald Trump got rich.
Yeah. And massive fraud.
Yeah, it's
no
basically
kidding.
Well, the thing that seems like it cuts the most against, because I think everybody, including his supporters, are of the impression that like he finds loopholes and
right.
like finds ways
he's
to
he's a smart
cheat.
Business guy.
Right. Yeah. But the thing that he has always claimed is that right. he only got a million dollars from his dad and then paid it back fully. So it was just basically like a bank loan. He's a business genius, you guys.
Yeah, daddy gave me $400 million.
But what they found is that by age 3, Trump was earning $200,000 a year in today's dollars from his father's empire, which, I mean, what a business genius. By mm-hmm. age 3, he was earning that much?
Holy
yeah, why isn't he hanging
shit.
His hat on that?
Right.
He's like, how much are you making right now? I was making fucking five times that when I was three.
I was a boss baby.
Yeah. I was the original boss baby.
He's the original boss baby. That movie's about me. You didn't know? Baby.
Fucking Alec Baldwin's ripping me off left and right.
Closest thing to a biopic of my life, boss baby.
he was a millionaire by age eight. And this is all just money being given to him. By the time he was 17, his father had given him part ownership of a 52-unit apartment building. And then right after he graduated college, he was receiving the equivalent of $1 million a year from his dad.
Hot.
The money increased with the years to more than $5 million annually in his 40s and 50s. So he was just...
Oh, so he's starting to, you know, it's like you got to ease him into adulthood.
Right.
Give him a little bit of money.
When you start giving him $5 million a year.
When he turns 40.
Yeah. When he's out in the real world, only getting $5 million a year.
Tough.
So it's just he's a, you know, I think a lot of people who have doubted his credentials kind of suspected that he's just a rich boy who got a lot of money from his dad. But
right.
I mean, the point that a lot of people and financial reporters and people who actually, you know, understand huge quantities of money like this have a point they've made is that if he had just taken the money that his dad gave him and put it in some like managed
like
fund.
Like an S&P, right?
Yeah, like, or just like, yeah, an S&P. He would be way richer now than he is based on like all the shit he did with the money, which was basically invest in businesses that should be very easy to run, like casinos, and just like bankrupting those businesses.
Yeah. So it's funny to talk about too, you know, like he hates that estate tax. And when you find out, like, essentially that his mother and father, who, my goodness, are two
the
beautiful
most,
human beings.
They look like just evil, elderly parents from a Tim Burton movie.
Some real, some real 7 Days to Live imagery.
Mary's hair
search.
Is actually the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
It's like Marge Simpson if she got her hair done by a very drunk person.
It's solid.
Yeah.
It's
falling off to the side.
And you don't know like where it starts or begins.
Yeah.
Who's that guy, Escher? Like an M.C. Escher drawing? It's like what her hair is. Like, I'm like, where is the base? Is it twisting on itself? Anyway, when you read about all the money that they inherited and what they actually paid, so, you know, they're saying they inherited around $1 billion. And, you know, based on the taxes that they would have had to pay, which is about, 55% for, like, you know, gifts and inheritances. Mm-hmm. So by that math, they should have paid about $550 million in taxes total and all that inherited wealth. But through all their fucking trickery, they ended up paying only $52.2 million, or 5%.
Right.
And, like, this is the kind of shit we're talking about. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that this story was effectively reported. I don't really... do we not all know that at this point?
It's weird, yeah. I mean, that's the sad thing. That's, like, we're sort of in this weird moment, too, where immediately I'm like, well, what's the statute of limitations on this shit? It's all passed.
Yeah.
So there's only civil litigation they could go through to try and recoup any of that money. I know Bill de Blasio has said, like, we're looking to see how we can recoup some of this money. But it's not like the kind of thing where it's like, aha, finally, like as John Oliver will do on his shows, like, we got him. Like, no, it ain't going to happen. And he's already, and he's not even really denying it either. Trump, like, is just like, that's tired. That's
and
an
if
old
you
want
to hide information from a Trump supporter, just put it in a 55,000-word New York Times article, because I'm sure nobody's reading that. But, I mean, at the same time, just, you know, truthfully and honestly speaking, what he does is rob the 99% of Americans out of money, you know.
And still be a bad businessman.
Right, and then blow that money on helicopters and failed businesses.
Do you think, I mean, I just look at the photos of him and his parents, like, how much do you think they raised him being like, oh, Donald, you are so miserable? Or do you think they were encouraging him?
Well, his dad, in the article, it says that his dad and him always, they were like clones of one another.
Right,
they had
right.
the same values. They viewed everything as like,
why
you know, kill or be killed, essentially. And so
they only know two speeds.
Right.
Only Trump had gone in, if only he'd gone in the Durst direction.
Right.
You know, like Durst, not to we should all be a little more like Robert Durst. I think we could all learn a lesson or two.
Jamie, if you've said it once, you've said it 1,000 times.
Just burp during your murder confession.
But, you know, wear a neck brace to court, I think, is a good lesson. Say you were on heroin, so your crimes don't count.
Could you imagine, though, if that's where Donald Trump...
If he's just like, hey, it seems like this Durst guy has some good ideas, that wears a neck brace to court. All that to say, Robert Durst had just as much money, and he was like, "Nah, I think I'm just gonna kill people."
Right, right.
Yeah.
Why am I longing for President Durst, and then like the jinx with Donald Trump, just a switched reality.
Oh my God.
Do you think was Durst pretty progressive?
I mean, the pro-murder agenda is very...
Okay, murder aside, I mean...
Right.
Murder aside, I mean, there are worse people out there.
Yeah.
Certainly. Certainly worse people. I don't know what his politics were. He's usually in hiding somewhere.
He seems apolitical.
How he treated women would lead you to believe that maybe not the most progressive dude in the world.
But he did also kill a man, so close to parody.
There we go.
If he had killed one more man, it would have been a parody murder.
They cancel out. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just a straight-up murder.
Yeah.
Dozens of dogs that he all named the same thing, which is one of my favorite crazy details of any crazy person is that he was just like kept naming them all the same thing and murdering them. Yeah.
That's your Durst update of the day.
Hugs really do make us happier, you guys.
Says who?
Says Carnegie Mellon University.
Okay. Okay.
They're smart there.
I'll buy it.
In Pittsburgh, they did a study where they found that people who are huggers have like better overall health and stronger relationships. And so this isn't just like people you're in a romantic relationship with. This is people who say, "I'm a hugger, get in here." And that is definitely a move that I do not have that level of comfort with just acquaintances.
Yeah, I know. I saw you high-fived your one-year-old.
Yeah. He was like, "Daddy, pick me up." And like, I was cool, like, "Hey, man, put it here, pal."
Nice to meet you, son. You're a good man.
I aspire to be more of a hugger. But yeah, my initial instinct is not as warm. But I also feel like this study could have been sponsored by ecstasy. So do we even know if this is valid?
So there's a bunch of stuff like this where the study of touch is becoming like there's a whole industry that we at my last job we interviewed like people who had started these cuddle parties and all these different things where it's just basically finding a synthetic way to replace like touch because people used to I guess like see each other in person
more often.
And so like have more physical contact with other people, and there's just like a certain amount of that we apparently, as you know, a species we need to like touch one another. And there's even like this weird study where they looked at NBA teams who like how often they touch each other during games, and found that teams who touched each other were like more successful, had like more assists per game. And that has apparently been taken on as like gospel in the NBA, because if you ever see like during
like
free throws,
yeah, everybody, hey, good.
Yeah, everybody touches the shooter, but like almost like it's like a thing they have to do that they've just been told, like, yo, touch his hand.
There's not even like eye contact. It's like, let me swing my arm.
Right. It's just very like workmanlike and like, yeah.
And okay, whoever's at the half touch, court touch, line, touch, it's like touch, a no touch. Look. The guy's shooting is like, all right, did you get me? Okay.
I think, obviously, I was a candy striper when I was a kid, and they always wanted us to like touch the people in the nursing home and like rub their hands or like rub their feet. And that was not necessarily our favorite thing to do.
Yeah, they're like, you have to rub their feet.
I mean, it was part of the job, but I mean, I see how that can be really important, especially if you're starved for it.
Right.
Or just, I mean, man, a hug really can go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess this is also like, I feel like even without the actual study itself, I think most people would be like, I have a feeling if you did a study about hugs, we would find a positive benefit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's probably more beneficial than I had anticipated, but
yeah. I think Big Hug is behind this study.
Big Hug, we'll see. The hug industry. But it is interesting because it's one of those things that you can't necessarily monetize, and so sure, yeah, therefore yeah. it probably is culturally underrated.
Unless it's
in America.
Ecstasy,
right? And even then, that's not nobody's making
it's Big Molly
clean money.
Big, Big Molly behind it. Right. Big MDMA.
Big Molly. Now
MDMA, NBA. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
There's a through line here.
Now, for the more dystopian way that people might solve the lack of human contact,
yes.
A Canadian sex doll company has plans to open a shop in Houston where customers can rent one of their sex bots.
Yes, but they only use that term because they moan the robots.
Oh,
or,
cool.
So it's not totally like a sentient AI being.
Moaning lifeless bodies.
But it's like yes. supposed to be like a sex bot that looks like a human.
It's a very hyper-realistic with like skin and like that feels real. And I'm like, you know, it's meant to look like a human being. And so, yeah, people would go in. I think they have a shop in Toronto where people rent the dolls for like a half hour, hour, and, you know, use them as they would. At the location, and the mayor of Houston was like, nah, I think we're good on a sex bot brothel or whatever. And they felt like it was unnecessary, unwanted in there. Like religious groups got involved, and like that's when it started getting weird because they were using this really tired argument where they always try and conflate sex work with sex trafficking, you know, and they're saying like, if they have these sex doll brothels, it will, quote, ultimately harm men, their understanding of healthy sexuality, and increase the demand for the prostitution and sexual exploitation of women and children. Now, I understand that as a concern, but I think we're also in an age where we can have actual real conversations around, like, our sexuality, consent, yeah. things like that, without sort of going down the immediate road where it's like, oh, sex workers are evil, sex work is evil.
Oh, you think we're at that point? Based on this conversation we've
yes.
had.
Yeah, I know. Shit. Right.
Also, it seems like a weird
my utopia
argument a little bit in that, like, I could see a religious argument for the sex bots.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're
human.
So worried about sex work or whatever, like,
yeah.
maybe try to put them out of business.
Well, what's the difference between somebody, you know, like, using a fleshlight or, like, a dildo? Like, you know, like, there's all these unhuman ways to get off or whatever.
Right.
And like using this whole like it's a gateway to sex trafficking. Like I don't know. I don't see how this is necessarily going to lead to the sexual apocalypse that the religious right thinks it will.
Yeah.
But this shit is always so like religiously motivated. Like you don't have actual groups who like advocate on behalf of sex workers or things like that being like, oh no, you don't want this.
Yeah.
You know, it's only these groups who I think the main group that came out against this is called Elijah Rising.
Okay.
And they are a Christian nonprofit seeking to end sex trafficking in part through prayer.
Okay. So they'll teach you to pray, but this thing that doesn't really harm people that would replace sex trafficking, they're not on board with that.
I also just want to say, if you have a weird kink, like some Republicans have been known to have, like maybe, yeah, I'm kind of pro this.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem. It's a fucking, this is a sex doll. If that's how you do that, that's how you get off, then whatever. Like, I don't understand. But again, I think that's where this happened also, I feel like, in Louisiana, too, around sex workers, where there was, like, a huge crackdown that without actually acknowledging the agency of some sex workers and, like, that there's – that if there's consensual sex work, there's – why are we vilifying that?
Yeah.
But this is just with – this is with a doll.
Yeah. It does get tricky with – yeah, just
of
consent
course.
And whether they're, you know.
Yeah, because some sex workers may not be fully have their own agency and may be, you know, working for like a pimp or something who is fucking wild, abusive and shit like that. But I think there is also in the internet age, which I think this is actually going around, was the idea of like Backpage and websites that allowed sex workers to just be their own manager and coordinate their own appointments, that they were taking that away, which eventually would drive people to the more seedier version of sex work, which involves pimps and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have noticed just in like keeping an eye on the front page of Drudge and other conservative websites that sex bots is a constant. There's just a constant drumbeat of like new story about sex bots, new story about sex bots. And I think it's probably A, because it's the same way that, like, when the internet first became a thing, they were like, person murdered on the internet, and
right.
You know, just anything to, because they had a chat with the person they murdered like 5 days before. You know, it's just the new scary thing. But maybe it's also, like you were saying, that they are excited that they can get their kink satisfied.
Yeah, you know, they're just looking out for humanoids.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
And we're back.
Oh, wow. What a break.
Miles holds his breath the entire break.
The whole time.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's mostly because of the smog.
Oh, God. The smog is bad.
Speaking of the smog,
just to that point, though, every time as a kid when I would go somewhere that was not shitty LA, I always was like, the first, like, the air.
You're breathing with parts of your lungs that you didn't know existed.
I would, like, cough up, like, auto parts and shit.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Sorry. Just love clean air. So I think that's why I like the Pacific Northwest. Shout out to British Columbia, too.
So researchers in India have been analyzing all the ways that people have died taking selfies over the past years. And this does not seem like it's an exhaustive list, because I think they only like clearly identified a couple hundred or like 200.
About 259 total.
Yeah. Right, about 259, give or take.
Give or take 0.001 within the margin of error.
But, you know, these were the ones where it was undoubtedly like somebody was looking at them as they backed into a, you know, industrial jet engine while trying to take a selfie or whatever.
Yeah, they just looked at articles that first they used articles that were like, so person dies trying to take a selfie or whatever.
Right.
And I mean, it is an interesting thing to study, because a lot of it, like the things they're saying, is most of these people, they are just risking their lives just in the pursuit of looking cool, like in the flex, in the search for likes.
Here's my hot take.
Okay.
We could afford to lose 250.
Right, 100%. Hey, it's a Darwin Award for sure.
Right.
Look, if you're out here climbing a motherfucking antenna that's 300 feet in the air to just do a selfie,
you fall off that shit. No.
I'm sorry. I don't feel, but you knew what was going on. You didn't even use safety equipment. But it's interesting. They broke down sort of based on the reports that they did collect, because it's hard to know, because like selfie isn't a recordable cause of death.
Right.
So they would have to look. But they found the top way to go for these people that they looked at while taking a selfie was drowning. So that would be people being washed away by a wave on the beach or capsizing in a boat. Some people were just getting into water without knowing how to swim. So, yeah, in those cases, I'm sorry. Like, that is a tragedy. But, you know, the Darwin Awards, they do move on. The next one was transportation. So that is the biggest risk, they were saying, was people clicking a pic in front of a moving train. So a lot of people were getting hit by trains, or maybe hanging out the side of a train trying to do it. I remember there was the woman of that one video, the one woman who was like hanging out the side of the car, dancing on the gram, and then she got hit by a light pole. Like, her friend was too close to like a light pole, but half her body was out of the car, and she hit her head on a light pole and died.
Die?
Yeah, she died.
Jesus.
Then like, so there's even shit that's not even really the selfie, but like the flex on the gram, because you just want to be geeky. Do you?
Right.
Thwack. Also, the third they were saying was from falls and fires. So people climbing shit, falling off tall shit, or being near a fire.
Running then into a house fire?
I don't know.
Instead of trying to like drag out like a person who's stuck in there, you take a selfie.
You just go live. You're like, right. Watch me be a hero.
Right.
Did you guys see the person who got into the accident? He was like, he had some sort of social media following. This was like a few weeks ago. And there was someone like dying in a car that he caused the accident. Oh, he was a boxer.
Oh,
he caused the accident, and he was like Facebook living instead of helping this mother who wound up dying. That's crazy.
That should also be a crime too. If you're
right,
if you in a position to help somebody and you choose
and
to go live
narcissist?
On the gram,
no.
that's a felony right there. That's 15 to life. And then the last one they were saying was like animal mauling, electrocution, and firearms, and they note most of the fatalities involving pics with firearms occurred in the United States.
Aha.
Of course.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, another sign that they did not capture all of them is that this was a study done in India, and while they only captured 14 deaths in the U.S., they captured 159 in India.
Yeah.
Again, they were focusing more on India.
I think this is a snapshot into probably what could be a much wider global study around this.
Almost
because,
definitely is.
Yeah, I think, you know, because like there's some countries have, or some areas have like no selfie zones.
Right.
Too, because they're like, people aren't even looking where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was in Japan, a lot of people had selfie sticks and are near the train platform where the wires above are electrified. So they're like, yo, you could just straight up zap yourself. And they have signs that are like, yo, don't let us catch you with a selfie stick near these live wires. But yeah,
this is the new smoking, though. This is like how people are killing themselves to try and look cool.
We really are just getting stupider, man.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, I mean, you know what I mean? What I mean in the sense that our sense of vanity and like social one-upsmanship is like starting to go into a place even more now where you can like record like really actually avoidable death.
Right.
But again, you know, this is where society's moving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's the craziest place you ever took a selfie, Jack?
I don't really take selfies.
Wow. And that's why you'll live to be 300.
Because I just have that photographer who follows me around at all times. So.
How many photographers have you burned through who have lost their life?
Lost a few of them.
Lost a few,
but,
yeah.
Unrelated.
What about you?
I don't think I have a good one. Also, like, I'm not that type of person. Like,
right.
I would not, like, I'm scared of heights. Like, anything that could potentially kill me, like, I'm trying to stay away from it.
Yeah.
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 Good for you.
Yeah, me too. I'm a coward. How about you, Miles?
When I was in London, I was on the London Eye, and I got out of the fucking pod, and I climbed on top of the car.
No, you didn't.
And I tried to get the selfie with the Thames in the background, and it was lit. But I took it down because I didn't want to inspire any copycats. But yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I think the most is like, I'm like seated, and I'll take a selfie. Or like,
Yeah.
Even walking, like, also the idea when I see people like walking and like selfing at the same time, like, I kind of cringe for them.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, if that's
I've
what
probably
do,
done
do
something like
do.
That, like been walking and, like on vacation and like taking a picture and like not realized I was in the middle of the street or something like that and could have gotten like
wow.
Hit.
Yeah. Think about your kids, Jack.
Yeah.
If you're trying to flex on the gram.
It was before kids.
Oh, you know? Shit. Well, then, you know, flex away.
So this is an interesting little release from the Hater app.
Yeah.
Which I was not familiar with. But Miles, explain what the Hater app
is. It's basically Tinder for haters.
Like, right.
Their whole idea is that they'll match people based not on shared interest, but shared hatred of something, which I think is called the 4chan dating section. But yeah, their whole thing is like you put in like what's the thing you don't like or whatever. And every like I feel like every year the last – or for the last year and a half the apps existed, they've like released lists before. They're like, based on our data, these are what the people hate most in these specific states. Huh. And now they just did one that was all based around food. And it's a very interesting image because it just shows like in each state what the most hated food is. Now, this in no way is real scientific data because it's a dating app that matches people based on what they hate.
One of the first things you notice is each state has a different food that they most hate, which is the sign that this was edited for it to be like good content and not like to just have a bunch of interesting information rather than actually like being a scientifically based thing. Like no two states had the same food that they hate the most.
No.
I love content.
But yeah, so
I mean they're just slanging some sick tent here.
Sick tent. And it's a good way to get people to try and get download their so like overtly negative cynical app. It's like, what do you fucking hate?
Right.
We'll find somebody for you. But yeah, it reads like a thing where I don't know if this, you know, you look at each state. Some states make sense, right? Texas is they say steak cooked well done. Okay, I can see how that makes sense.
Okay. But they voted for Trump, so how do you explain that?
Well, how about this? New York, they hate ranch on pizza. So I get that too. I can see how, if, as a New Yorker, you look at that kind of shit and like, oh, that's fucking nonsense, right? But again, you don't know where these people are using this app, so I would just reckon that it is like whatever the most, like the two most populated cities are actually determining what each state actually hates.
Right.
Because California's Chick-fil-A.
That doesn't make sense.
Man, I drive by Chick-fil-A. I go to Chick-fil-A, you know. I see people there. They got past it. I don't know what's going on. But again, I feel like if you're on an app and you're trying to find a mate, you would say, I hate Chick-fil-A because that will probably mean someone who does not appreciate homophobia.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then that way you know if you put that shit there, you're not going to get some weird
subtext.
Yeah, like, yeah, which, yeah. Or you're just a dude who's like, hey, this will make me seem more like woke. Right. Or whatever. So you never know someone's motivation.
Literal virtue signaling.
Right.
Massachusetts, my home state, is mayonnaise on fries.
Yeah.
Which as a chup head myself, I strongly disagree. I don't. Sure.
You love the chup. Yeah. Start a new podcast, Chuppo Trap House, later. But yeah, like, what I don't understand is North Dakota was tapas.
Yes.
Like, so you hate everything about tapas, well, or was there one tapas restaurant that opened up and you're like, man, fuck Olay.
All right, I have my most baffling one that I'll get to, but there is another trend that you see that is basically the reverse of virtue signaling, where it's like, we don't give a fuck about you East Coasters. Like, West Virginia's tofu, Kentucky is hummus, mm-hmm. because, you know.
Which one's LaCroix? I don't know what
Nevada
states are. Okay.
Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nevada.
I don't know what the states are.
Colorado, they hate Flaming Hot Cheetos.
I don't know, man.
Florida all hates... the weed you smoke up there. Oklahoma not liking veggie burgers. I get that, you know?
Right. That's what you would expect.
There's one that's... Okay, there are a few. I'm interested in what Jack's baffling one is. A few are throwing me here.
Okay, what do you got? What's really throwing you?
I don't understand foraged food.
In so Tennessee? That's Tennessee, and foraged food is like a hippy-dippy like trend. So they're like, fuck you, lefty, foraged food.
Okay, so that's another fish
kiss my
shaker.
Ass. We pay for our food in Tennessee.
That's another fish yeah. shaker.
And,
got it.
And yeah. it's just, you know, it's like basically going around, gathering your wild food up, and they're like, oh, okay.
Quinoa's one like that, where they're like, hippies suck.
Yeah. Right.
Also,
right.
Arkansas, cilantro?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just like, I like the Alabama, it was just straight up Chipotle.
Yeah.
Like, yo, they're I can hear that dog whistle loud message. And clear, my man. You do not fuck with Chipotle.
Florida licorice is bumping me too.
Right.
What is that?
Okay, so this is the third category that we were talking about earlier, which is there's like some self-hatred / self-deception where it's like licorice is... They're like, we're not all old. We hate licorice. It's like right. Werther's Originals and licorice are the things they hate.
Okay.
And another state that you see that trend is in New Jersey, where their most hated food is gas station wine.
Oh,
it's like,
that's
fuck off,
so
New Jersey.
So specific because you don't want to be seen as a bridge and tunnel right. person.
The
like,
corner piece of a brownie. What is that?
That one is very confusing to me.
Or what Missouri's is the last bite of a hot dog.
Yeah, that
Why?
One's...
Do people just like rage? Do you just be like, fuck, this is the thing I hate about eating a hot dog, man, that last bite.
Yeah.
Oh, are they just saying, I love hot dogs so much, I hate when they end?
Oh, wow.
God damn it.
I never thought about that. Yeah.
I just love them
so just
much.
So tortured. You're like, I'm so sorry.
I don't know how to take the last bite.
Do you guys not like the last bite of a banana? Do you have any thoughts?
I don't even
on
eat
that?
Bananas.
You don't eat bananas.
They make my throat itch.
They're not. Yeah, I don't love it. It's not my favorite bite.
Right.
Does it bother you?
It does bother me a little bit. And one time I was in a forum and like there was a big thread of people being like, I hate it too. Like we all just discovered we didn't like
it. Why? Because all warm?
Because it's like everything meets there and it like becomes this like. It's not even worse. It tastes exactly like the rest of the banana, yeah. but it's just like some weird unconscious thing.
You know, actually, now that I think about it, as a kid, my dad would be like, yo, you better finish that fucking thing. Because I would get to that part and be like, nope.
Yeah. I just wonder if that's the same as two dick-shaped foods. I wonder if there's like some unconscious Ooh. Thing about like, oh, well, it's the tip and it's like where it like gets all... I don't know, mashed together.
You don't want to eat the whole penis.
Right.
Also, why do they hate Coca-Cola in Hawaii?
Just because
is there something going on that I don't know? Did Coca-Cola help with the annexation of Hawaii or like
is there a political reason why everyone in Alaska hates a specific brand of water?
That's a very good question.
Voss water. I just said water like I'm from Baltimore.
Right.
Water?
Yeah, water.
Water?
I mean, yeah, it's just very interesting to see. Again, this is not scientific, so I would not trust this.
We took a survey of hateful people. Yeah. Here's what they thought.
I mean, pumpkin spice anything was
right.
that Wyoming?
There are some that are just trendy. I think that's that not North Dakota?
No, Tapas is North Dakota.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe that is why.
And then Idaho, they hate dim sum. Uh-oh. Yeah.
And Maine and Maine hates Asian fusion.
Yo,
it's like,
Come on. I like Maine.
Right.
I can't. And I am literally.
You like Maine?
I'm literally Asian fusion. I played hockey there a couple times. And
oh,
it was nice as a kid.
Okay. I mean, it's good for ice-related activities.
Yeah, here's the thing. Last time I was there, 11 years old.
Yeah, Maine's great when you're 11 years old. The second you, there are some wonderful people
yeah,
in Maine.
Yeah, sure, of course.
There's also some scary fucking people in Maine.
That's what intrigues me about Maine, because there is like this sort of wilderness culture out there still where they're like, this is fucking Maine.
I spent a lot of time in Maine growing up because my grandma lived there, and the neighborhood she lived in, it like ran the gamut in terms of like political opinions, and like people were... live wires in me, and there's a lot of space to yell.
Right.
a lot of beautiful nature
up there. A lot of space to yell. Love yelling.
Yeah.
Hey, Stephen King didn't come from nowhere.
Stephen King lived in that same town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, what's going on with Nebraska not liking chili peppers?
Yep. I feel like that might be one of those.
Because it's like whistles. Too much. Where it's like, ooh,
yeah.
Is that Colorado who hates Flaming Hots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Speak up.
It's very white state. I feel like it's...
You would think that Flamin' Hot's. Everyone loves Flamin' Hot.
I know, especially a place where weed is legal. You would.
I feel like Colorado. There would be an unusual, like, if you were percentage wise breaking down Flamin' Hot induced UTIs state by state, Colorado would be up there.
Flamin' Hot. Who knows? In Oregon, theirs was fast food. That feels like a Portland vibe.
Yeah. For sure.
Because that feels like that would probably be their
Portland
biggest market.
Portland and Eugene. Yeah. They're just like, come on, man. Oh,
man, Eugene.
Keep your fast food out of here.
Chiba Hut.
They're like, just let your neighbor baby bird into your mouth. It's just as good.
And then New Mexico hates chicken nuggets. Got it. Right. That's a very odd thing. I get if you hate quinoa or something. Or some people don't like biting string cheese. They're very offended by
that. That was Illinois.
That's an action, not a... That's confusing, too.
I like that as a pet peeve, though. Because I know...
I get it.
The first time I remember seeing as a kid, some fucking psycho caveman kid I went to school with bite a fucking string cheese. I was like, the fuck? That's not how you do it.
That's not how it works.
You thread it down until you're holding fucking spider webs.
So much wasted flavor.
Yeah.
The one that I'm most confused by is Minnesota beans. I just don't... Beans? All beans?
They're showing string beans, it looks like. So is it because of casseroles?
I don't know. You'd think Minnesota would be way into casseroles also.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to disperse. There's where New Hampshire hates expensive cocktails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sure. Vermont, the spray cheese, they're like, we take our sharp cheddar very seriously.
Most of it just seems to be rural virtue signaling where they're like, I don't fuck kombucha. That's Arizona.
And then California's virtue signaling too. Like, Chick-fil-A, no way.
Not here, bro. Can't get away with that. Chai latte is Pennsylvania.
Utah Zeitgang.
Matcha tea.
What is wrong with balsamic vinegar? That is also oddly specific. Like, I hate balsamic vinegar.
Balsamic vinegar is like considered crack in Utah. That's like too much.
Yeah.
They don't sell it on Sundays.
Yeah, yeah,
I mainline it.
We're not monsters. Yeah. We don't do balsamic vinegar.
Mainlining balsamic vinegar right now.
Balsami. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.